Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What an epic intro!
What is this?
For Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah.
Wow, is this just for Briscoe?
Yeah.
It is the 11 o'clock hour.
Feels intense.
Josh Briscoe does join us every Friday at 11 to talk some Chiefs football. He, of course, will be hosting pregame coverage this Sunday, 3 hours before kickoff, and I no longer can give him a hard time about not having a win in the host
column.
He's good to go now. We're full steam ahead here on 96.5 The Fan and the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, we also are about a half hour away from having Alex Smith call into the show.
Yeah, I saw the rundown today. It was Jake Eisenberg, me, Alex Smith, and then Bink for the fan club. I really do feel like a bit of a weak link for you today. I'll do something fun if I can, but I honestly could spend the next 15 minutes going, and a reminder, everybody, Alex Smith joins the show at 11:30, and I think that'd be best for retention.
You know, that's not the worst thing. Although, how do you think he'd respond to any questions related to whether he's soft or not?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man, we are deep.
That's a deep pull.
The thing is, most of the people listening have no clue what Cody is referencing.
But
that's
Briscoe
the only problem.
Immediately laughed. They just know it's funny. He got asked if he was soft in a press conference.
Everyone
laughed.
As they always say in radio, inside jokes are really, really good on air content.
Look, Gold, nobody's listening to 11:30 anyway. Who cares?
People don't want to hear from the former chief about a team that once struggled and started 1-5 he was on and then eventually won. He has no insight on any of this.
Right.
We'll go just to the source, to Joshua Briscoe and all this. Look, in this game, how much do you think Xavier Worthy will be at 100% of what he was doing last year, which was he was the single biggest major resource in the offense? Are we back to that right away, or are they going to walk him in slow?
I do think it's worth remembering how, and this is a paraphrase, not a direct quote. I do feel like Andy Reid has talked about over the years, like, well, when a guy's available, he's available. So you can't be too in your own head about, like, how many snaps a guy's going to get, and this isn't a leg injury, right? So that both clears things up and makes it a little bit murkier for me, because I would say, well, if Xavier Worthy wants to be out there for, you know, 75% of the snaps because he should still be in relative football shape, that his legs should still be just as good as they were in week one, I'd love to see that. I'd be a little bit surprised if he got the week one game plan diet of just planning on feeding him all throughout this game, but especially when you look at this Ravens defense that has so many problems, specifically on the ground. This is a little bit into probably a future question here. I'm no Alex Smith, but you do want to be able to stretch the Ravens horizontally also and just start screwing with their angles and try to make sure you have an extra gear both on the ground and through the air. So I'm thrilled, I guess, knock on wood, it's not official yet, but I'm thrilled to assume that Xavier Worthy is going to be back out there. I'm guessing it's going to be less than his ideal workload, but I'm glad to have him back on the field.
I would try to get him involved early though, but you mentioned the middle hurdle and worrying about or not worrying about snaps and things like that. But I kind of want him to get a touch very quick in the game, the first tackle, and just kind of move on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be something where I think for a long time, if not for the entire season, we're all going to kind of, you know, grimace and grit our teeth whenever he gets tackled and lands on his shoulder the rest of the way. But I am extremely not a doctor, and it seems like there is precedent for how you can operate with this exact injury. Again, didn't Juju have basically this at one point, too, I think, one of the coaches mentioned? So, again, Right, it's similar is also a big deal because I don't know the exact differences and what's going on inside that shoulder. So I want to see him survive a little bit of contact. I think it was Connor Embry who said, like, look, we're not telling him to catch it and slide, right? So he's got to be able to play a physical game, but it seems like I can't imagine the Chiefs putting him out there with the expectation that every time he takes a hit, it's 50-50 that he'll play again, you know?
Although I do think that they understand that it's always a risk, and I genuinely think that they probably sat him out against that one, being like, I'd rather have him for the Ravens. On the off chance that it's only one game and Worthy's not exactly the same, forget playing him against the Giants. We want him for a game that we need him for. And I do think that they need him. I would have predicted and would be predicting the Ravens to win this game if Xavier Worthy's unavailable.
Yeah, I'm of a similar mind where I do think if you could guarantee me what Worthy would do, it would make me more confident in a prediction or kind of looking ahead that way. I do worry about just simply this offense not having enough horses, not having the gears to take advantage of the Ravens defense in the way that the Lions and Bills both have. But if there's any opportunity for this Chiefs running game to put some of these doubts the first 3 weeks into the backseat and to just purely move forward, this is not the Baltimore Ravens teams and the Baltimore Ravens defenses that any of us grew up watching. Like, since the dawn of the franchise, this is not a defense we've seen out of Baltimore. So if there is any world in which Isaiah Pacheco gets back on the horse here, or any world in which Breshard Smith has a breakout game, this is the time to reveal that, because I think you've got to try to punish them on the ground, because it's a way that they've been very gettable this year.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, he will be hosting pre- and post-game coverage this Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Ravens. It starts 3 hours before kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. Derrick Henry is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a freak. All this is true. He's got a fumbling problem right now. That's also true. We were looking it up, though. The Chiefs under Spags have handled him pretty well. How concerned are you about Derrick Henry being the game changer, if you will?
A little bit less than most, probably. It's funny. I think back, this is, you know, way, way back. We're a team ago, but I think back to the AFC Championship game and all the talk against the Titans. Mm-hmm. Not the Ravens, the Titans AFC Championship game. All the talk of, well, here's what Derrick Henry can do with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. And I remember just looking back, not to take a, you know, long road to pat myself on the back, but I just remember looking back at that game and going, oh, we kind of nailed that in the analysis of, like, no, Derrick Henry's not going to single-handedly beat this football team. Now, years later, his quarterback is no longer Ryan Tannehill. So that, to me, is the thing that rises him back up to where he wasn't super productive against Detroit. He does have these fumble issues late in games against good teams. There is a pretty clear recipe there for how the Chiefs handle that. I did just hear recently, I think it was a Nate Tice stat, talking about how the Chiefs' run defense in base has been really, really poor this year, which is kind of interesting, because I feel like the run defense, by and large, has been pretty good, and you think about base packages, you go, well, that means you've got Nick Bolton and Leo Chanel and Drew Tranquil on the field out there together, but again, this Ravens team has so much athleticism starting with the quarterback that the entirety of their running game is, at least in theory, still incredibly dangerous, but that's not really how they've played this year offensively either. So the truth is, the Ravens have like five different ways they could beat you. The interesting thing is that we've seen a couple ways this year where they can blow it.
Do you think that there's a chance that this is a like one of those mistake games for both teams, just knowing the desperation both are going to feel going into it? They know they're both staring down the barrel of 1-3, which is far off of the expectations that both of these teams have set for years and years and years. At like, sometimes I wonder, when you're like pinned back into that corner, teams make mistakes sometimes instead of like rise above it. They like they try to do too much in a moment and fumble the ball away or do those things. It feels like this game could have that.
I think you're right. I also could, though, totally the other read on it. I think this game could start tight, because if you are both of these teams and you are thinking about all the things that you just laid out there, you go, well, the first team to make a mistake, a really bad one, a backbreaker, a real self-inflicted wound, the first team to do that has now given the keys to the other team. And then now you can try to drive this game knowing that you've got an extra possession because Travis Kelce tipped a ball up, or Derrick Henry put the ball on the ground, or one of the quarterbacks makes a mistake. So I think it's going to be very interesting to kind of stress test that, Cody, in the first quarter, really. See, is this a game where guys are starting to press, or is this a game where everybody's trying to play very, very within themselves because they know how punishing any real mistake could be?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That. I mean, these teams typically play close. Obviously, the Chiefs have been the better end of that end, which I guess I don't – like, I look at those records kind of like I look at the Bills one. I don't know that it tells me that the Ravens can't beat the Chiefs as much as it's just these are two really good teams, and the Chiefs have just won more of them. Like, the Bills have a winning record against the Chiefs in the regular season. They haven't always been the better team in those games. They've just won more regular season games, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that ends up being, for me, a lot of times, just kind of a Patrick Mahomes stat, where you go, well, when these games are the most meaningful, this guy just pretty much never loses. Obviously, there are a couple of examples, like one AFC Championship game and a couple of Super Bowls, and you go, man, what a record that he has built together. I do think, and maybe I'm overreacting on this one because it's just, I'm talking about two losses in 2025 for Baltimore, but there is just, like, something, right? Like, you see it. We all see it. We've all felt it with Baltimore. They have been the team on paper now for a number of years, even whenever the Chiefs have been closer to full strength or before some of these evolutions. You go, well, this Ravens team, like, they have all the ingredients that you would expect out of a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and they never actually get there. Now, this year, they're in this spot where they might not be that team because the defense has been poor. I haven't seen anything new on the Ronnie Stanley front today, but it seems
he didn't practice yesterday.
I say he didn't practice yesterday, mm-hmm. So it seems like it's unlikely that he's going to play. They have the injuries on both sides of the ball and the performance issues to this point, and still, from the Kansas City perspective, I still look at them as a team that has every bit of the Super Bowl aspirations they had at the beginning of the year, and I don't know that that's actually right. I think I might be giving Baltimore the credit that they have earned over these last few years, and funnily enough, the credit they've earned over these last few years has never really gotten cashed in. It's never even gotten cashed into a Super Bowl appearance. That's largely a Mahomes thing. I guess it can be a little bit of a Josh Allen thing, but it is such a bizarre team, and what kind of feels, I don't know, again, this is way too early, but this year, even coming into it, was kind of like, well, if Baltimore doesn't get there this year, their window isn't the same size it's been in the past. So I really think this is a fascinating football game between two teams in both very similar places with very different recent histories.
The other part of the matchup that has not gone the way of Baltimore, obviously, is just the head-to-head stuff with Mahomes and Lamar. But at the same time, I look at the 17 straight one-score games the Chiefs at one point had won. And this year, obviously, they're 0-2 in those one-score games. It feels like this is one of those where this will be a one-score game that they win again. As much as 17 in a row wasn't sustainable, I don't think now the Chiefs are just going to never win one-score games.
No, you're right. And that's, you know, this is always kind of a hard thing to talk about. I remember doing it last year, and sometimes people get frustrated with it, and I understand why. You go, well, look, whenever you have this unbelievable record in one score games, you are, among other things, getting lucky. Like, it's also like injury luck. Where, like, there are things that you can do as a training staff and preparing your body and whatnot, but sometimes freak injuries happen, and sometimes you lose a football game because your kick gets blocked in return for a touchdown or whatever it is. Now, the other side of that coin is that you can look at it and say, well, they're not just lucky, they're also clutch, and they've been in these moments before, so they're more equipped to not make these mistakes late in games. And this year, they've made the mistakes. And again, not to bag on Travis Kelce, I think he's the greatest tight end of all time and has an incredible chance to start redeeming his season as this year goes on. But he has two, like, just crushing mistakes, one hurting Xavier Worthy, and then one tapping up a pick in week two. Those are the types of things that switch what your record is in one score games, because it really does come down to one moment and can the defense in this instance capitalize. So all of that to say, I do think this is going to end up being one of those games where, again, kind of like we said earlier, I guess, maybe you're pressing or maybe you're tight, but it feels very likely that there's going to be one mistake in this game from one team or the other that's going to end up being the thing that we're talking about on Monday.
Briscoe, you had, I'm assuming you listened to the press conference like the rest of us do. Mm-hmm. Did Andy Reid essentially admit on Wednesday that he's never benching Jawan Taylor? I thought when he was like, well, you know, when he doesn't do the bad things, he's great, was essentially his way of saying, we don't care about the bad things anymore. Even after the, like, kind of dad talk from Matt Nagy a couple of weeks ago, that felt like a way to pacify the, like, hey, we like what he does in the pass blocking. We are forgiving the penalties. I know he wouldn't ever put it that way, but the way he had said he's one of the best pass blockers in the league when he's not committing the penalties, I kind of took it that way.
I might have taken it that way if I hadn't heard Andy Heck yesterday, who sounded
Heck was pretty critical.
Really frustrated. Yeah, he sounded very frustrated, and in a coaching staff that constantly talks about what they have to do to like get their messaging across or what they have to do.
Well, his job might be on the line. That might be why he's frustrated.
Well, yeah, maybe so. But whenever he was talking about Juwan Taylor, I think he said a couple of times, like, look, he knows what he's got to do. It's on him now. It's kind of saying, look, like, there was even the follow-up question about, like, if he, like, you know, had different ways to approach Juwan and kind of get the message across. I think it was Vahe who asked, and Andy Heck said, like, I'm open to suggestions. Like, that was kind of a joke, but, like, and I don't hear Andy Heck make a lot of jokes at the podium. That was kind of even that was kind of noteworthy to me. All to say, like, I don't think the book is closed there, especially with Jalen Moore. Like, you have an obvious answer that you didn't have last year. Last year, you could have said, what, you want to bench Juwan Taylor and start me? Like, I don't think anybody wants that. This year, you do have the tackle who the Chiefs, at least at one point this offseason, the Chiefs were comfortable being the left tackle for this team throughout the season. So, I don't think that book is closed yet. I think it might just be an issue of those compounding snowballing mistakes at some point, if there are a couple of penalties or a penalty and a bad rep or two all kind of happening on one drive, maybe then the ripcord gets pulled. I don't think that one's over yet, though.
Josh Briscoe will be listening Sunday afternoon, 3 hours before kickoff, and of course, postgame as well. We'll get you on a winning streak as well.
I'd really appreciate that. Also, another thing to tease, you can hear the one and only Cody Tapp, and I'm pretty sure Cody knows that, and if not, Cody, now you do! I'll talk to you on Sunday.
That's right, I'll
there
be on pregame.
There you go, your pregame this week.
Hey, I set a reminder.
Now don't screw it up, man, with former Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith.
I know we're going to do Trash of the Day here in just a couple minutes. You had asked earlier, you said, well, how many illegal procedure penalties does Clay Holmes call? Uh-huh. I do have one bad news on that front.
More than everybody else?
His crew calls the most false starts in the NFL.
False starts?
Mm-hmm.
Not good news.
That seems like it counteracts the previous thing we just discussed.
Well,
his crew calls the most false starts.
It hasn't killed them, I guess, is what it is. It hasn't killed them.
I just like, I the Juwan thing, I will say, Andy Heck, and we don't air Andy Heck audio.
No.
As in, like, there is full.
But if you do want to get, I mean, we don't normally care in its entirety.
Yeah, we can play it real quick. He was very critical of Juwan Taylor. Like, he's just kind of tired of it. And kind of more in the way Nagy said it.
Now, there when he's getting called, those are good calls. I mean, he's too deep. Your helmet's got to break the plane. I think, as a very prideful player, one of the things Juwan takes a lot of pride in is he's going to give himself every advantage that he can. He's going to be on that snap count. And what we're telling him is, hey, that's not necessarily an advantage every time. Like, in fact, it can get you in trouble if you're too quick, you're too deep, that's creating too much space. And so, but he does take a lot of pride in what he's doing there.
If you're going to kind of try to get a little cheat code there, you don't have to do it every single time. I hope they don't catch you the one big spot you do it, basically, is what I heard. Also, he mentioned in a different cut that They've studied this, obviously, because it's been a problem for a couple of years, and they claim that there's like 20 other offensive linemen that line up either just as deep or deeper than Juwan Taylor.
That might be true,
but man, you're the one that's getting called for it, so you got to figure it out.
Other people speed, too,
years of this.
Right? Everybody speeds on the highway, but if you got 10 speeding tickets,
then you're a
it's time
your problem.
To lay off the gas. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that Drew doesn't speed, too, but if I'm the only one getting pulled over...
Let me tell you, Drew speeds. Let me tell you.
It almost sounds like, though, that going back to what we talked about the other day, it sounds like it's contradictory. Juwan's got a lot of pride in the way that he plays, but he also thinks that it could be an advantage. Well, he has to figure it out because
that's
it sounds
the pride.
Like
he wants to look like a good player, and he thinks the only way to be a good player is to bend the rules.
Exactly, and it's like what you said. I think even more after Andy Heck just said that, Cody, it's more of what you were saying, and this is a Juwan Taylor problem. It's not an Andy problem. It's not an Andy Heck problem. It is. They're giving him the advice. They're telling him what to do. And Juwan is basically blatantly saying, nah, I got to get this advantage. So I'm going to line up the way I want
to
line up, which I think is he's bordering on getting benched because he's trying to do it the way he wants to do it. And it's not working, but he's still doing it the way that he wants to do it and trying to get whatever advantage he thinks. And it's going to get him benched.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to do the like lesson moment where like fourth quarter, you get the penalty, like get your ass out for a minute. Not like we're fully replacing.
They did that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they sat him out for a drive or so. And that, that was at the time you thought was going to be the moment to shift it. And obviously here we are 2 years later, still talking about that same occurrence. Like, we've all seen this enough. Like, we all fully expect he's going to get called for illegal formation on Sunday. The question is it multiple times, and does it happen on a crucial third down when the Chiefs got to have it? You know, that's the only thing that's up in the air. I don't think, you know, to me, we going back to the conversation week one after week one, and we were asking, like, how long will they stick with Juwan Taylor? I said they're going to at least give him a month. Well, after the Ravens game, it'll be a month. And so this is, to me, a game in which it could finally sway the Chiefs. I understand what Andy Reid was saying, Allie. They think the good outweighs the bad, essentially. Mm-hmm. But at some point, does it take a crucial drive late in the game where things are going great and it, like, flat out costs them a football game? Is that what it's going to take? I hope not. Is that where we're at?
It's just like, what does it say to the rest of the team that, like, I can lose my job for not doing it, but that guy can't?
Somebody on Monday, I think, mentioned something along the lines of, it makes no sense how they will genuinely be okay with Juwan Taylor costing them yards, which cost them drives, but then as soon as you fumble one time, you're on the bench and you're never playing again for me. Like,
Carson Steele and McCoy, we know the difference, though.
I think it is ridiculous to cost your team a drive, because if you cost your team a drive and then you fumble, it technically is the exact same thing. But the fact that Andy doesn't want to pull Juwan because they're paying him or because he doesn't want to embarrass him or whatever. He embarrassed Carson Steele last year, and he embarrassed LeSean McCoy going all the way back then for benching him.
Yeah, I think that's something we've gone over multiple times. I think it's how they operate as an organization. It's way easier to bench Carson Steele, who has not done anything, frankly, to contribute to your Super Bowl success. And it's a different story to, you know, pull the trigger on benching somebody that has started and won a Super Bowl with you as a starting right tackle that you are paying $20 million a year. At some point, the money and all that should not matter. But I get why we're comparing the two. I don't think they're comparable. It's very easy for me to bench a guy that was basically a practice squad player in the National Football League versus a veteran who we trade. You know, who you signed.
McCoy was an old decade member. They benched him, but like still, he wasn't
with the organization very long. Though they weren't paying him $15 million a year.
But now we're at the point where it's not happening once. Like it did with Carson Steele, it's happening twice and three times. So much so, they're expecting it to happen, and they're okay with it. It makes no sense.
Yep. That's weird.
Yep, that's where they're at. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
Have you guys ever heard of something called skip lagging? You know what this is?
That's where you book a flight that has a connection going somewhere else, but you just get off at the first stop.
It's where you need to get from point A to point B, and then you see a ticket price of, you know, $800, but then you see another flight from A to C A to city C, and then there's a layover in the city you actually need to go to. So you just get off the plane, and that ticket's maybe $300 cheaper or whatever. Anyway, in this case, a TikTok guy calling himself Daltex Tony claims he's been flagged by American Airlines for skip lagging, and so he's no longer allowed to fly with them. American Airlines contract of carriage does warn that passengers agree to complete the entire journey or risk punishment, such as having your ticket canceled. It's not something you're allowed to do. There was a website for a while that was like setting this up for you, and I think they got in trouble, and I don't know if the site even exists anymore.
Look, In principle, I don't mind you trying it. And if you just do it one time, you're probably going to get away with it.
Probably.
But you also have to understand that, like, I also get that, like, that's American Airlines policy, and if they choose to not let you book flights anymore... Yeah. As a result of it, well, then, such is life. You got to fly different airlines or apologize and say, I'll never do it again. I don't know, whatever you got to take. I get, I do. Part of it is frustrating because you're like, why am I paying less for more flights?
Well,
like, and you're like, well, we charge more for direct.
There's a site called skiplagged.com, and literally the front page of the site says, ridiculous travel deals you can't find anywhere else. Our flights are so cheap, United Airlines sued us, .. but we won.
Oh, we won!
So they're still operating.
Why don't they're doing anything illegal?
Well, the court said they weren't.
Like, but it's just like, what's
there's it? A website that actually specializes in this. Like, there's one right now. Sunday, October 12th flight, Wichita to Dallas, Fort Worth. If you use the skip lag thing, it's $190 versus $391.
I mean, that's quite a bit cheaper. Next time I'm flying somewhere long enough, I might just do it once. Well, what's going to happen? They're going to ding me for the one time I don't get on the flight? Oh, no. I'll be like, I missed it. People miss flights. That's the other thing. They're never going to think you're guilty of it if you just do it the one time, Gold. People miss their flights all the time.
Yeah, like the example is there's a flight. I don't know why this is on Wichita, but whatever. Wichita to Dallas, and then it goes Dallas to Little Rock, Arkansas.
How many people are trying to get to Wichita?
I don't know.
Oh, Wichita to Dallas.
Well, technically the flight is Wichita to Little Rock, but in the skip life, you need to get to Dallas. You can just not do the other end of the flight is what they're saying, and you save money. You know, I've never done it. Have you?
No, I haven't. Tempting, admittedly. Very tempting. I don't, but like, this is the one thing. I don't mind you trying to get away with it. I also don't blame the company for banning you. You can't like go on online for something that is against their terms of service.
Yeah, someone says, what if you have luggage? Well, that's the key with this. You obviously have to carry on. Yeah. If you're, yeah, you would have to carry on.
Hey, if you don't mind, don't send that bag to the final destination. I would just like it now. Yeah, it's a carry-on situation.
All right, up next, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Former Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith joins us. We asked him about a 1-5 start he once had with Andy Reid, how they handled that, and how big is Sunday's game for both of these teams. That's coming up right here on Cody and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Well, we're back here on Cody and Gold and excited to have our next guest join us. The Crown Royal Rig is going to be coming to Arrowhead this Sunday. And, of course, there'll be some familiar names coming to Kansas City. Tony Gonzalez, Taylor Rook's going to be out there to talk more about that. And, obviously, this football season is nice to have a three-time Pro Bowler, former Chiefs quarterback, Alex Smith, join us here on 96.5 The Fan. So, Alex, it's great to have you on the show. It's been a little while.
Yeah, great to be back, fellas.
When you look at what you guys have going on this year for the Chiefs, like when you look at it from the outside, we always go back to when your team started 1-5. We've obviously referenced that as a way of like getting back into the playoffs. What is it like in an Andy Reid-led team that isn't living up to expectation early versus some of the stuff we're used to out of Chiefs teams before?
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, obviously you said it. This is like, you know, this is the last time that this team knew you know, adversity this early in a season was definitely when I was lining up at quarterback. So it's been a while. I think a couple things, you know, to think back to that 1-5 start, and you know, I'd been around several head coaches at that point in my career. I'd had several bad starts to seasons before, and I just remember coming in, and I remember how calm Andy was. Like this, he wasn't panicked, right? And I remember how rare that was. I remember him telling, you know, everybody that he was going to be a little better and the coaches are going to be a little better and you guys need to prepare a little better and we need to execute a little better. And it was just so much of like, you know, you look around the league at all these teams that get off to bad starts and we always see these drastic changes, right? People are fired. They lose their, you know, quarterback changes or they lose their play calling abilities. And I think people so often do kind of rash things when they're under that kind of pressure. And I remember thinking how unique it was that Andy just seemed to have such amazing resolve and he was so kind of immune to it and how impressive it was. And you know, again, it made the difference, right? Like the momentum is obviously such a big thing in the NFL. And if you can get one win, right, if you can, you know, one scoring drive and kind of get some momentum going and then all of a sudden you stack them, it can obviously have a powerful effect. I think the other thing is I think about this, you know, currently this, the core of this current Chiefs team, that's been together obviously these last several years and had so much success, but they've had a lot of adversity too, right? Like this isn't the first time that they've faced adversity. This is a team that has had, you know, gone through, faced a lot of adversity, especially offensively the last couple years and still found a way to overcome it. And I think they will lean on those experiences. You know, again, they haven't gone through this, you know, 3 weeks into the season before, but it's still a valuable experience that they will rely on, I think, to work through this.
I think that's one of those things that like stood out, like between like people talk about like the Andy or Travis thing. And we're always trying to decide, do we notice it more when they're not, things aren't going well? Is it just kind of part of it? Like when you have guys like Travis, and you were around Travis forever,
yeah,
it feels like he's like the ultimate, like, I want to win no matter what. It feels like the frustration shows with some of those guys, but I'm assuming in the building it's not like that. That like when they're sitting in, like, every day-to-day stuff is very normal.
Well, yeah, when you get back into your routine, for sure. You just can't, like, sit in that kind of experience. I mean, even certainly I so appreciated Travis's, like, vulnerability and honesty, obviously, after last week and the tough drop, right, that, like, kind of obviously was a defining play in that game. And it's a play, obviously, that, listen, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, pass-catching tight end of all time, right? But, like, he's not perfect. And I think true leadership, not just from him, but Andy, like, it shows up in the hard times, right? Like, you don't really need it. You don't really need it when things are going well, right? Like, when you're winning a bunch of ball games, like, there's not an opportunity for it. And I think for those guys to step up and to lead by example, you know, when you're not having success, when things are hard, I think is even more important. I think that's, again, a valuable example for all the young guys on the team to look at. And again, is there a bigger star in the NFL right now? And for him, again, I think to be so real, again, is such a valuable, to have that on your team goes so far, right? I think for the entire roster to see that, like, to him kind of taking accountability and know that he's going to be better and he'll do anything it takes to win, right? Like, try this. Honestly, this guy doesn't care if he catches two balls and they win a football game and he has to block all day. He's going to be pumped.
Did you ever think, Alex, though, when you had Travis Kelce walk in the building, though, just that, obviously not the off the field stuff, nobody could have, you know, predicted this kind of stardom, if you will, but just on the field, what he's become and the success he's had, what did you think of him when he first showed up?
You don't want to know. The organization was excited from day one, you know, with being able to draft him. They were incredibly excited. I will never forget, like, literally, I mean, I think the day after, days after the draft, that we got a guy, right? We really think he's special and can be something. Now, listen, nobody can say that, like, that he was going to become what he has, right? The career that he has. Again, it's just one of one. But I think you immediately knew, I knew how unique he was. And in so many different ways, right? Like, I remember very quickly realizing this unique skill set, right? The wiggle, the basketball moves that we see at tight end. I think very quickly you could see that, listen, this guy played quarterback and he saw the big picture, right? Like, he very quickly, you could tell that it was easy for him to handle, hey, like, the different matchups he got, the different leverages he got, like, what defenses were trying to do to take him away and how to counter it. Cause I think he just had a great understanding of offense and defensive football. And then I think very quickly, obviously, what a unique teammate he was going to be. Right. Again, he's so incredibly refreshing. He has so much fun. He has so much gratitude to be playing. And I think that's really unique. I can sound weird, but in a professional setting with expectations and contracts, and sometimes things can get heavy and hard. And Trav is always, like, every single day, just love being out there, grin on his face, telling jokes, having fun, dancing. And again, I think that sounds like a small thing, but you appreciate it in the moments. And I know they'll be appreciating it even right now, right? Like, again, a lot of pressure to win and get back to, you know, no one wants to start 1-3. But I think to have that every day, that kind of attitude does really help.
Has it been crazy from the outside seeing all the other stuff? Him and Taylor?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. Again, it just crazy, crazy. I mean, again, even Kansas City, you know, such an amazing town. But listen, this isn't New York, right? Like, there's some big giant market team. Again, it's the Midwest, and just such an amazing fan base. And just to have become kind of certainly America's team, to go on the run they've had, to see what Patrick's done. And then obviously Travis on top of that. Yeah, just never could have expected it.
Year to year, like, we look at Andy's offenses in the last couple of years, they've been so much more like close to the line of scrimmage, not the deep pat, not the stuff we're used to, I guess.
Yeah.
Andy Reid-led offenses. Where do you think that's coming? Is it just offensive line play, or is that a huge part of it? Are, you know, like, how much does it change year to year for Andy? Because we've seen more of it this year. Like, where do you think some of that the closer to the line of scrimmage stuff is coming.
I think this is the amazing thing about Andy Reid is he just doesn't run a playbook. He just doesn't. There isn't like some playbook that he's running. And obviously, he grew up in the West Coast world, and they still use that terminology. But it is so fluid year to year about what his team does well, what's our talent, how can I put these guys in a situation to have success. And so you just continually see it morph. And listen, when the Tyreek trade happened, and obviously Travis is getting older, and those guys, you didn't have those two guys in their prime, and you weren't lighting up scoreboards and throwing for 50 touchdowns, right? Like, that's just not sustainable. So it started to look different, right? Like, how can we move the ball efficiently? And certainly you saw defenses, I think, even countering it, right? They weren't going to give up the big play anymore. And you saw all the shell defense. And so this was an offense that all of a sudden started to incorporate more RPO, right? You saw a lot of the underneath throws and gun runs. And Patrick, it was still a way for them to, obviously create some offense and move the football. And this became one of the most efficient offenses in football. You know, it was weird to go from one of the most explosive to one of the most methodical. And again, I think that says not obviously a lot just about Andy, but the players there. And I think you're in a weird situation here these first 6 weeks, obviously, without Rashee. I think he's a guy that, this is a phenomenal football player. I think that last year before his injury, you saw the season he was having, and obviously, you know, missed the first 6 weeks. But I think when he comes back, that will be a huge boost for this offense. Obviously, Worthy coming back hopefully will help there as well. But I think they're kind of sorting out that identity here these first few weeks. We saw a little more under center last week, right? Trying to run the football, get downhill. Thankfully, Patrick wasn't the leading rusher for the first time of the season. But I think that's going to help with some of the play action pass and be able to push the ball downfield a little bit to some of these guys.
We're talking to Alex Smith here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned it right there. I was going to ask you, just we know Andy Reid never is going to be run first, nor should they when you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But how important is it to get Isaiah Pacheco and get this running game going right now, especially, as you said, when you're not having someone like Rashee Rice be a weapon for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so many variables. And listen, I work with Rex Ryan on Sundays, and he's like constantly talking about running the football. And I'm just like, listen, if you had 15, you wouldn't be running.
Right, right.
You know, and it's like so hard not to put the ball in his hands every play. But I think, again, there's a lot of things that mentioned obviously earlier, that this young left side of the O-line, right? Like, in some ways, getting under center, running the football, letting those guys get downhill a little bit helps, especially depending on their matchup, right? Like that Giants D-line they went against last week. Speaks a monster, right? And so and is it a way all of a sudden to get some looks downfield and to play action and to move the pocket a little bit here and there? And so I think, do we see it again this next week? Right? Maybe, right? This is a Ravens team that's struggled to stop the run. Certainly saw obviously Detroit, you know, get downhill on them in the run game as well. And so will that be there? You know, again, we'll see. I still think it's a work in progress. Obviously, Worthy coming back is a big addition, but I think the big one's when Rashee can get back.
Feel must win for both of these teams? Just knowing
it's so crazy to say must win this early. Like, this is a huge game. This is a big game for both teams. But obviously one of these teams is going to be 1-3, which is crazy. But a big football game here, you know, week four. Right. And again, I think both these teams' sense of urgency will be maxed out. Yes.
Before we let you go, Alex, also we see another young quarterback getting an opportunity this week. Jackson Dart gets the start now for the Giants. We all know how involved you were with Patrick, and he gives you a ton of credit for his growth. I feel like, you know, there's some people that feel like, you know, sit a year is the path because of what you guys were able to do. Yeah. There's others that think, you know, this is too early. What do you make as someone that was right in those that feel around an organization that had drafted a young quarterback?
Yeah, and then even to go back to my year, I mean, I lived it. I started week four. This feel like deja vu, right? Like I played a little bit week three. Things were going well early, and then wham, you're starting. And I just, you know, the real question they should be asking, and this is what's unfortunate, is like, is Jackson ready? Right. Like and is the team ready around him? Right. Like, is it, have we given him the best chance to go out there and have success? And instead, unfortunately, I feel like, listen, we didn't get off to a great start. We don't have any wins. Russ didn't play well last week. Right. Like, let's just get him out there because of the pressure, because the fans were booing, because maybe the head coach is feeling pressure for his job. And that's just not how you should be making the decision, in my opinion. Right. Should they sit 1 year? how many games. Like, I don't think there's an exact number. I do think there's a lot of value though in Jackson watching guys go out there and prepare and play. They have this guy named Jameis Winston who's also played well at times in this league, and I thought maybe it would be an opportunity for him to go play a few games, and for Jackson to sit and watch another guy do it. You know, I don't love doing it against the Chargers, right? You guys know this defense. This defense the last two years is a monster. It's one of the best in the NFL. I'm not sure they are making decisions based on that. Like, how have we done everything possible for Jackson to have the best chance of success? Seems short-sighted. I love Jackson. This is a Salt Lake kid. His dad went to the University of Utah. I know him and his family. I'm obviously wishing him the best, and I hope I'm wrong on this. You know, I hope he goes out there and crushes it. But it's hard. It's hard as a young quarterback in this league and to go play this early. But hopefully they'll put a good game plan together for him. I hope he goes out there and feels like he can just run the offense and not have to be anything extra, right? You don't need to do anything special. Just go run the offense, be yourself. And hopefully he's not feeling the pressure to go out there and do too much.
Before you get out of here, Alex, tell us one more time about what you're doing with Crown Royal. We know Tony Gonzalez and Taylor Rooks will be an Arrowhead.
Yep. For fans, you know, again, partnering with Crown Royal, celebrating their fifth year as the official whiskey sponsor of the NFL. And the Crown Royal rig will be at Arrowhead this weekend for the huge matchup. Fans, come check it out. And there's a new edition called the Royal Seat. So fans will get a chance to win premium ticket upgrades, which is awesome. And again, obviously, there will be some cocktails there for anybody interested. But very cool. Obviously, I'm back to working on Sunday, so unfortunately won't be there. Fans will have to settle for this guy named Tony Gonzalez and Taylor Rooks. And they will be packing purple bags for our military, and fans will get a chance to come out and pack bags for them as well. It's a tradition that Crown Royal has been doing for a long time and is very, very cool. So, again, fans, come out. They'll be there. And again, can't wait for this game.
Awesome. Alex, really appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
You got it. Alex Smith. Former Chiefs quarterback, doesn't do a whole lot of radio in Kansas City or interviews in general. So it was great to have an opportunity to get his insight. He talked about how calm everybody was in the organization back in 2015 and how Andy Reid, you know, there was definitely no panic. You know, I know we've seen on the sidelines the Travis Kelce stuff, but that's somebody that was right there in the organization as the starting quarterback after a 1-5 start. And then they ended up winning 10 regular season games in a row, or I guess 9 regular season games. Yeah, 10 regular season games, I think it was, in a row, and got things figured out. But the other part at the end we can get into maybe later in the fan club, talking more about the Giants and the Jackson Dart decision. I thought that was interesting how he kind of laid out the scenario, because we were wondering why Dart's starting against the Chargers. If you're going to make the switch, sure, but is the Chargers the right spot?
That's a really tough defensive front to go up against right away. And yeah, I would be if I were them. Pretty concerned about... I just don't like the way teams have been handling quarterback. I feel like it's just out of control, and this is another example of that. And to be honest, Alex doesn't sound like he feels much way different about it. It's like, put him in an ideal situation, not desperation. And what this is, and we all know it, because everyone's going to lose their job. Jackson Dart has to start, and that's really unfair to Jackson Dart and not a good position to put him in, but... Man, I don't know, man. It kind of just is what it is.
That's why I would get rid of Brian Daboll now. There's no pressure. Brian Daboll selfishly trying to save his job.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's how it all works. Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez, your favorite player growing up. You going to go out to the Crown Royal Rig and say what's up?
We've had Tony Gonzalez on the show before.
He's your favorite player growing up.
He was. And I don't know if I'll be stopping by the Crown Royal Rig or not.
Probably shouldn't have a cocktail before.
I am going to cover the game for the station, so that might not be the best idea. Throw down a shot of some Crown Royal real quick before.
It's fine. Yeah. Maybe you could change your mind. They could upgrade your seats, and then you could just go and sit as a fan instead, you know?
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez, Taylor Rook going to be there at Arrowhead. I believe is what Alex said. But Alex Smith, people in the text letter say it's good to hear from him. It was good. And you know, it's one of those weird things, right? Like, appreciated way more once he left, which is unfortunate, you know, just because of how sports
work. Wanted to be better.
Because how sports works. And it's obviously worked out tremendously for Kansas City. You know, and I think people's appreciation, though, of Alex Smith only increases over time, based off everything that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have said about how crucial he was to helping Patrick Mahomes maybe get started as quickly. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes still would have had a great career. Nobody's saying Patrick Mahomes would have stunk, okay?
He's openly said on New Heights that he felt like he got too much credit. Yeah.
But, you know, why maybe he had the success immediately, you know, and learning how to go about their business. And then, obviously, I think everybody from Kansas City was really worried about Alex Smith and his own health after that scary situation in Washington with the leg and everything. And now he does a great job over on ESPN. So
the visuals on that documentary, man, his leg. It was like, I can't believe he got back on a football field. It's genuinely incredible he got back out on a football field. Some of the text line still doesn't like. Still have some ill will towards Tony G.
No, they're not. It's not ill will toward Tony G. It's love for Taylor Rooks.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
the text line's horny, not dismissing Tony Gonzalez.
I gotta relax, man.
What? I didn't say it. No.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the text line. You guys gotta relax.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. They're just feeling loose.
She also is very, very good at what she does.
She is.
No, she's awesome.
Which is why she's great. Doing a. Prime for the NBA, I think
that's right. Well, yeah, I think that's correct.
Yeah, she's been killing it.
So if you want to go see him, I guess go see him on Sunday. Look, I really do think his point there right at the beginning about how Andy handled these, like, it's like nothing changed. He's like, we're just gonna, like, it was weird. He was speaking almost in the cliches he says in those media things, like, we're gonna fix these little things, we're gonna fix this couple of things, and then we're all good to go. Like, we're going to solve this problem. And we're going to figure it out from time to time. But Alex Smith, what's interesting is that's not the only 1-5 team he's been on. That's not the only bad football team he played for.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at it that way, he does know how teams handle those things differently, how they handle the adversity part differently. And he makes it sound like Andy's about as cool, calm, and collected as it gets when things don't start right. That's a really good thing to have in a head coach. An underrated thing because normally we care about X's and O's and what they get out of a quarterback. And that part is important. The fact that they were able to win a lot of games, despite the fact they started 1-5 that year.
Yeah. I think that that's something that, as much as we've said, the sideline stuff, you don't need to see every single week in terms of Andy Reid, in terms of anybody on the coaching staff. Yeah, this is where I push back on the true panic stuff from the organization. Now you heard it from Alex Smith, but in general, you may have criticisms of current play calling, we certainly have had at times, criticisms of how, you know, personnel is being used or whatever. But in terms of being even keeled and not overreacting to one loss or whatever, that's something I'm not concerned about when you have a coach and a staff as experienced as they are.
Yeah, I mean, they've been to 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. If there's a team that doesn't need to panic, it is certainly the Chiefs, knowing their position. And the roster is not way different than a team that won 15 games last year and went to a Super Bowl. So do I think all of a sudden they're an 8-win team because they started 1-2? Or do I think they're an 8-win team if they start 1-3? No. They're just too good and poised and collected for that. They are dealing with major injury stuff. They did that last year too. And they're not, but the schedule's much tougher this time and they're paying for it.
All right, coming up next, we will get to what's trending. Then we'll talk more about what the script looks like for a win, what a loss would look like. And we'll also, a little bit later on in the hour, get to the Golden Locks, including an update on our Circa Millions entry as a station. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.